All right, amen. Thank you, Pastor Seth. Appreciate all of you here tonight singing good songs, new songs, old songs. That's a blessing. And we can pray. So while you're finding Romans 12, if there's any children that are going out tonight for children's church, they can go to the back. If not, we'll just look at Romans 12 mostly. And while you're turning there, just a couple things. We've had some good days at the chapel. Keep that ministry in prayer. And the Lord gave us a couple visitors again this morning. And we are so glad just for the new people that have come in this year and some growth that we have seen. Just a temporary report. We had a goal of 75 faith promise missions cards. I know we were praying fervently. I was, you were, to reach that goal. And as of right now, we're up to about 83. So we're way beyond what we hope for. And we're glad for that. There may be a few more hanging around. I don't know, in the offering or in the chapel offering or something. I'm not sure. The totals, and it's higher than this, but this afternoon, the totals of those I knew was $201,000 committed, which is an all-time record for our church. Our previous best was $187,000 committed. And so we had $201,000 committed to missions this upcoming year. And I'll just stick this plug in, too, just because I think it's exciting, is the chapel is responsible for about $43,000 of that. And so We're glad for the chapel, contributing. They have always all these years, but it was a good year over there, and they're having their first missions conference in April, and we hope that their commitments of $43,000 will even grow then. So it's a blessing when people catch on to this and see what God does for them and blesses them, and I'm just absolutely thrilled about this, and it just blessed my heart. We'll give you the exact totals next week in the bulletin. Speaking about next week, Elena, we're glad to have you here tonight. Maybe your last time here at Faith Bible Baptist Church. We sure love you, and thank God for you. Dear sister in the Lord, I want you to know you've been nothing but a blessing to me, this church, and God bless you as you marry Chris and go on to Ohio and serve the Lord down there. You'd be a blessing down there, too, to those people. But you've been nothing but a blessing. And she's been one of my secretaries here for, I don't know, 2 years. Was it 2 years, maybe? Yeah. And wow, what a worker she was. And she's responsible for a lot of this stuff you see. And the creativity she has, amazing. And I thank God for her. And she's getting married at 2 o'clock over at the chapel. Anyone's welcome to come and see the ceremony, from what I understand, unless you got some people you don't want there. But it's just 2 o'clock over at chapel this Saturday. Anyone can just come to observe the wedding ceremony. So, but you pray for her and Chris. Really pray, because they have a lot of potential, those two, of what they can do for the Lord. Amen. And just not too many people like this getting married these days with a really good solid start and love for the Lord. So we just hope it's going to be wonderful. All right, well, I don't get to preach too long because Mike took so long with his scriptures tonight. And I said the more scriptures that are said, the less I pray. But what we're going to do here on Sunday nights, not next Sunday night, G. Paul Victor will be here. And boy, I got to get you the YouTube. I watched the thing this afternoon. This man's doing a great work in India. And he has started over 100 churches down in southern India. I don't know if it'll be near the Gerbers or not, but he has a goal of starting 1,000 churches in his life. And these are not big churches, but they're churches, and we're glad for him, and we're going to be pretty honored, I think, next Sunday night to have him among us, and I'll get you by Wednesday that YouTube, whatever it's called, so you can look it up if you have YouTube and watch it. It's tremendous, 13 minutes to see what God is doing over there in India. So look forward to him. But after that, we're going to go through some of the other chapters in Romans. And I just call the message tonight, if you turn to Romans chapter number 12, I just call this message, Looking for Love in Romans 12. looking for love in Romans 12. And a couple of weeks, we're going to look for love in Romans 13, and then Romans 14, and Romans 15, and Romans 16. Of course, all the chapters change, and I think you'll find it interesting, and there'll be a lot of variety to it. We remember that love is kind of like a diamond with many, many facets to it and many definitions to it. I went through 18 this year. I don't know if I'll get to more, but I didn't really come close to really teaching what the Bible says about love. But it's just a fascinating subject. The more I learn, the more there is to it, and it just seems the farther away I am from attaining it. But God has done some things in my life this year of things I didn't even know were love until I studied it out, and I hope he's changed me. But Romans chapter 12, we're going to just scan this and look for love. And not all the verses deal with love, but a lot of them do. And maybe this can kind of become a study habit for all of you just to look for love in different places in the Bible. So we're going to go through Romans 12 tonight. Now, the book of Romans can be outlined very easily. There's only two parts to it. There's Romans 1 through 11, the first 11 chapters, which deal with doctrine. Then Romans 12 through 16, which deal with deportment. Now, that's a word we don't use much anymore. Anybody know what it means? Deportment, a person's deportment. It's how they behave. Okay? An easier way to outline the book of Romans, two parts. Romans chapter 1 through 11 deal with beliefs. Romans 12 through 16 deal with behavior. That's an easier way. I'm not saying it's an easy book. I'm just saying it's easy to outline. All right, chapters 1 through 11 deal with what? Beliefs. Chapters 12 through 16 deal with what? Behavior. Beliefs, behavior. Beliefs, behavior. As we pick up chapter 12, of course, we're now dealing with the behavior of the true believer in Jesus Christ. And as we go through this chapter tonight, now I'll just kind of read through it quickly and make a few comments here and there. We want to see love. We want to look for love in Romans chapter number 12. Well, I think it starts out where we see love is sacrifice in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice is love. God wants you and I to be living sacrifices. Of course, keep your place here all night, but go back to chapter 5. We see that sacrifice is love. Chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now notice the sacrifice in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see love there and sacrifice. Christ died for us. Because we were ungodly, it says in verse number 6, because we were sinners in verse number 8, not because we were wonderful people that he thought we were saving, but because we had no hope. But verse 7 says, you know, some people dare to die for a righteous person. Some people dare to die for a good man. Well, we need to die for Christ. And going back to Romans 12 and verse 1, I think that's about the best way you can show your love for Christ is to present your body a living sacrifice. Verse 2 deals with transformation. I think transformation would be a good way to show love to this world. We certainly don't want to be, I don't think it would be love for us to profess the name of Christ, but to be worldly. That certainly would damage the testimony of Christ and would hinder people who are trying to come to Christ. Because the only Bible, they're not reading the Bible, they're reading us. We're the only Bible they're reading. We are epistles, read and known of all men. And we want to be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind. And that does take a lot of time in the scriptures to pull off, as Brother Billowis was saying tonight. Or he was implying when he was doing his memory verses how much those verses have helped his mind. And given him the desire to live and to serve God and let people know that his God is real. Transformation. If we can be transformed and be a good testimony, that would be love. Humility, verse 3, is certainly a form of love. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humility is very important. And we'll see that again later in the chapter. That certainly is a form of love. We're looking for love. We see it in verse number 3. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You will be no good to the human race if you think that way. But if you'll be humble, think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, you will be useful. Now, in verses 4 through 8, we see love in the manifestation of ministry gifts in the church. We just covered this, I think it was last Sunday morning. But as you discover what your gift is, your ministry gift, there's 7 listed here. Everyone who's saved has one of them, men and women. Men and women have at least one gift. Ministry gift that they're supposed to discover what it is, study on how you can be qualified to use it, and somewhere along the line get it plugged in to the body of Christ for the purpose of edifying others. Charity edifieth, right? That's love. Love builds up. And so verses 4 through 8 talk about the ministry gifts, and that certainly is a manifestation of love when we have our gift. I hope I preach in love with a desire to help people with knowledge and understanding, and I hope you teachers are like that. I hope you care ministry folks are like that, and those who do counseling and givings mentioned in there in verse 8, we talked about that, how some people just are blessed by God with resources and really keep things going. Really keep things going. What a manifestation of love that is and mercy. So in verses 4 through 6, we see that our service to the body of Christ through our gifts is love. It's love. Well, let's look at verse number 9. You see any love in this? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love rejoices not in evil, but rejoices in the truth and that which is right. This verse says about the same thing. But as we look for love here in verse 9, we come across a word that needs some defining. And it tells us, let love be without dissimulation. Who knows tonight what a synonym for dissimulation might be that we could understand better, or all of us could understand better? What does that word mean? We've got to know this. Let love be without dissimulation. Eva? Hypocrisy. Absolutely, hypocrisy. This means that our love should be what's called unfeigned. There should be no acting. No acting. And I remember one guy said, you know, they ought to give Oscars out in churches because that's where the greatest acting goes on anywhere on earth, not in Hollywood. And I know what he meant. It was kind of a joke, but there's some acting that goes on in church. And that's dissimulation, hypocrisy. Our love should be unfeigned. There should be no acting, or as it defines it in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity is not puffed up. Not puffed up. And that phrase, puffed up, is found a couple places in the Bible. Not puffed up. Now, what puffed up literally means is to take a deep breath. And if I did this, And I walked around like this. I'd be acting, because that's not what I'm really like. It's a show. There's no show in love. Love is real. And when it says love is not puffed up, that's what it means. Love is real. Now, verse 10 is loaded with love. Verse 10 is loaded with love. It says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. That's tough to do sometimes, but that's what it says. Now, this phrase here, kindly affectioned, is used in other places in the Bible to refer to the natural affection of parents for their children. There should be a natural affection. Once you're saved, there should be a natural affection for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that should be mixed with kindness. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's a natural affection, and God wants us to take the example of a parent's natural affection for their children and have the same within the body of Christ in the church. Natural affection. When Sam and Victoria, when they have this baby, Whitney coming up, Sam will not need to be taught to have a natural affection for this child. Do you understand that? He's just going to have that. They've waited a long time. Victoria is not going to need someone to teach her to have a natural affection for the baby girl. Now, what we need to do is make sure we don't get into that inordinate affection. We talked about that a little bit about this month. But nobody's going to have to teach them that. Does that make sense? Nobody's going to have to teach them a thing about that. You're all going to see it. It's going to be obvious. That's how we're supposed to have in the church. With that in mind, keep your place here and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 9. It says this, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul says, I don't have to tell you this, that you're supposed to love each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't have to tell you this. God's already told you this. God's already told Sam and Victoria, love this baby. And God's already told us, love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Love the church. Love your spiritual family. And then it says at the end of the verse here, well, there's more to it. It says, be kindly affectionate in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. Give place to others. As Jesus would say, put yourself last. Look for the lowest place to sit. Don't be a place seeker. Don't seek prominence. Don't seek preeminence. Just prefer others. It's also, I think another way to say it is the way Paul said it to the Philippians, where he said in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And that's not the exact verse I wanted. But there's a verse that says that we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. And I'm not sure where that is. But imagine that. Imagine telling an American, esteem others better than yourself. In honor, preferring one another. Preferring. Give deference to someone else. Prefer them. Well, that's love. Verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This means don't be lazy. Be on fire for God. That's what it means. Be on fire for God. It says, not slothful in business. Don't be lazy in your Bible reading. Don't be lazy in your prayer, as the Dye family just sang. Don't be lazy in your church attendance. Don't be lazy in the ministry God has given you. But just as we learned a couple months ago in the admonition to Archippus, Paul said, tell Archippus to pay attention to his ministry, that he fulfill his ministry. And if you've got a ministry, don't be slothful in that business for the Lord. This will help in the world too, if you're a businessman. Fervent in spirit means on fire for God. That's what the word fervent means, in your spirit, to your emotions, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. The hope of salvation, the Bible talks about, the hope of the second coming. We ought to be rejoicing in that. If the Lord's coming to save us, to take us home and be with him soon. Continuing instant in prayer. I think an outward expression, or could be a private expression too, of love is prayer. Boy, if you really love people, you're going to be praying. You hear these prayer requests? Pray for so-and-so, they got cancer, leukemia, they're on dialysis or something like this. My loved one's unsaved, they need to be saved, or, you know, the church needs this, or these people or whatever. Could you pray for me to, you know, get along with people at work? The loving person takes note of those prayer requests and prays for them and doesn't just give it lip service. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Now let me tell you about myself. No, continuing instant in prayer. Now here's some love in verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints. That's love, isn't it? Distributing to the necessity of saints. Boy, that blesses people's hearts. We talked about giving this morning. I won't go into it. What were my 3 points this morning? Giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of love. Giving is an act of grace. All right, those were my 3 points, and Bible points, not mine. But so giving is deeper than what we think. It's not, oh boy, here comes the plate again, they want my money. No, there's deeper purposes for it. It's worshiping God. It's loving people. And it is grace in that it enables people. I mean, he's not here tonight. Brother Al and I were out visiting. We did a lot of running around. We had to catch up on some visits in Perrysburg, Gowanda. We were all over the place yesterday. Had a good time in the Lord in the rain. People were home. When it's not raining, they're not home. And some of you know what it's like to go out and make visits and nobody's home. But yesterday, everybody's home just about and had some good visits. But on the way down through the southern tier here in Collins and Gowanda and Perrysburg, we saw 5 empty churches. 5 empty churches. And I only know one of them for sale, but that's the one in Perrysburg. And what a gorgeous place that is. Down on Route, right on Route 39. And we stopped, took some pictures, started to do some praying about that. But we talked about giving is love. It's going to take some giving, you know. There's a church up in Lakeview here that's probably going to go up for sale right on Route 5. Man, it's a beautiful church, beautiful location. That stuff takes some funds, though. It takes some men. It's going to take some pastors. It's going to take a congregation of humble, loving people to get something going. Big or small, it didn't matter, but it's an old Methodist church, hadn't been open in 2 years, an old Episcopalian church hadn't been open in 2 years. Distributing to the necessity of saints. And then there's brothers and sisters right in the church that are needy, and sometimes they just need money, or they need cars, or they need whatever, some furniture or something, some clothes, some groceries. That's love. Given to hospitality, verse 13, that's love, isn't it? That's love. You know, I think it was last month in the Garlands, I think, had people in their home 4 straight weeks that they housed who were passing through, God's servants doing God's work, trying to get to the mission field, and that's such an honorable thing, as we had in our theme for this year's missions conference. It says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, not taking anything of the Gentiles. And then verse 8 of 3 John says, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We ought to receive such. We ought to be, it says, given to hospitality in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, given to hospitality. That ought to be the manifestation of love. Some of you have nice homes, and or maybe you got an extra car or something, and you can lend it out or something like that, and have people over for lunch or dinner. Some people that maybe nobody else even sees that they're in the church, but you could try to have them over and given to hospitality. Well, I think we see love in verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. That takes some love, wouldn't it? To bless them which persecute you. This guy coming next Sunday night had Hindus throw a rock through his window and hit him right in the head. He's got a big scar on his head. You see a big scar there when he gets here. It's because they tried to kill him. But he loves those people. He didn't run, hide. He stays right there. He's reaching them. He's getting them saved. He's baptizing them. And then when he baptizes them, their families disown him. And he has to have members of his church take those people in. Literally. He's got orphanages for little children. He's got Christian schools for little children. I mean, he's doing a real work of God. And but he's been persecuted. What does it say? Bless them which persecute you. It takes love to do that. Bless and curse not. Here's some love. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. When someone gives a testimony, we've got to say, praise the Lord. I'm so glad for your fortunes. And I'm glad when we see God bless somebody with a new house, new car, new job, pay raise. We've got to say, praise the Lord. Rejoice with them that rejoice. It takes love. If we don't have love and we have envy and jealousy and everything, boy, that's ugly. The things you start thinking about people who are prospering, especially when you're way down on your fortune and you're struggling through hard times and you see God blessing someone else and you're like, well, no, we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice. Say, praise the Lord. If we hear about another church that's growing and ours isn't, and we ought to just say, praise the Lord. Praise God for the blessing of God on that ministry. Every church has lean days, and every church has fruitful seasons, and we ought to just rejoice when we hear of other churches planted and good things going on. I called a guy in Island Park, Idaho, this week. We've been to Island Park, Idaho, my wife and I. I don't know why anyone would plant a church there. He's planting a church in an old closed down lawyer's office that can seat maximum 25 people. And he was just rejoicing. The church is, I think he said 2 years old, 3 years old, Brother Barbie, B-A-R-B-E-E. So I just had a good talk with him on the phone. And he was so excited. They had 25 people in church one day. He says, we got to get a bigger place. I was rejoicing with him. Praise the Lord. He says, and Brother Cole, we've taken on three missionaries. Three missionaries. He says, I don't know how we're doing it, but we're taking on three missionaries. Man, rejoice with them that rejoice. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Then it says, weep with them that weep. There's some love. You know, people that are weeping, people that are hurting, people that have lost loved ones. We got a bunch of widows around here and at chapel. Others who've lost children, others whose children are wayward, it's just breaking their hearts. It's ripping their hearts out. And if we could find a little love in this chapter, we should weep with them that weep and not get on their case if they go through some struggles, after the death of a loved one or something. Just let them be. I don't know how that would be. I mean, I was through it when I was young, but that'd be a hard thing. We've got some folks we're praying for that are struggling with cancer. I don't know how it's going to turn out. A pastor friend of ours, too, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but there's going to maybe be a whole church sorrowing pretty soon. Here's some love found in verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. This is love. First of all, no partiality. No partiality. There's no partiality in love. Be of the same mind one toward another. James taught us that partiality is sin. We saw the partiality of Jacob, how it wrecked his family as he loved his son Joseph more than the others and made a coat of many colors for him, and it says his brethren hated him the more. It's not wise at all. You got to love your children all equally. And you got to have wisdom from the Holy Spirit, as I've said, to love them differently, because every one of them, it's amazing, they come from the same womb. They come from the same womb and they have such radically different personalities. How'd that happen? And so you got to have wisdom from God on how to love. And the same thing with church members, man. Church members are all different. Some are really weird, man. It's just, and you got to say, Lord, how do I love this person? And not just migrate towards those you feel comfortable with, but minister and reach out to others, and don't be partial. I know when I go to the herd six, there's something about me that just wants to be partial towards Ava May, you know. I don't know why. She just gets to me, that little one. But they got three others, you know, Philip and Michael and Anna Joy, and I try to love them all. But, boy, some of them really get to you. like little Ava May, man, she gets to me. But I got to try to be impartial. So do we in everything. That's love. Aren't you glad that God saved you and he didn't say, filthy American, I don't want to. No. God, it doesn't matter what continent a person lives on, God loves them equally. And no matter what nation they're from, no matter what prejudice or you may have towards some, God doesn't have that. God will save them as fast as he'll save you. And he's working in different parts of the world saving people. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Again, we see love and in humility here, that we should never think. You know, don't ever think you're too good for us. There's some people I think that don't come to this church because they're too good for us. It says, "Be not high, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." That means come on down. Come on down. Be in that John the Baptist mode where we're constantly saying, he must increase, I must decrease. I got to get down where Paul did, on the level of everybody. If he was with the Jews, he was like the Jews. If he was with the lawless, he was like the lawless. If he was with the Gentiles, he was like the Gentiles. If he was with sinners, he got down on their level. If he was with high-minded religious people, he tried to get on their level. Be not wise in your own conceits. That means don't think you know things other people don't. Don't think you know things other people don't. Be not wise in your own conceits. Every time I thought, hey, I discovered something for the first time in human history, God has humbled me, and I read about it in some sermon in the 1700s or something, in a book, or the 1800s, 1900s, and there's nothing new under the sun. If you ever think you've discovered something nobody else has ever discovered, watch out who's talking to you. I'm sure God hasn't waited till 2017 to reveal something to you he's never revealed to anyone else. I'm sure he hasn't. That's why I get a kick out of these cults, you know, with the Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff, with their 1969 Bible, which right in the flyleaf says it's based on the writings of Westcott and Hort. And how they think, you know, all this time, man, and we should have been calling him Jehovah, and we just figured this out. You know, it took to the 1900s before God finally said, you got my name wrong. No, that's a name so holy that people never used it. Be not wise in your own conceits. Well, here's some love in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Would you say that's love? Recompense to no man evil for evil. They do you bad, you do them bad. You know, in the Old Testament, you could do that. They poked your eye out, you get to poke their eye out by the law. They cut your ear off, you get to cut their ear off. But the Lord came along and said, no, you've heard eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but I say unto you. And he said, just turn the other cheek. And don't retaliate. Love is not retaliating. There's some good advice for a marriage. Sometimes a husband has a bad day and he says something he shouldn't have said in a million years. Don't retaliate. Sometimes a wife lets something slip out she shouldn't say in a million years. It can hurt deep if you're proud, but if you're humble, it doesn't hurt long. Yeah, she had a bad day. I'm going to love her. And so, there's some good stuff about love in this chapter. Love is not retaliating. Love is being honest with your fellow man. That's love, verse 17. This is love, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, sometimes it's not possible. I'm not going to go up to some terrorist ISIS guys and say, hey, just want to meet you. I'm a Christian. Just want you to know I'm praying for you or something like that. You know, I don't think you'd do that. That wouldn't be wise. But as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably in your church. In your church. Be one that contributes peace to your church. Be the one that contributes peace to your marriage. Be the one that contributes peace to your family. Be the one that contributes peace to your neighborhood. Your neighborhood's fighting with each other. Be peaceful. Be friends with all of them. They'll wonder, what's with this guy? He won't side with anybody. He just loves us all. Contribute peace to your place of business. Contribute peace to your church. I think I said that. Every one of us should feel personal responsibility to bring peace into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Verse 19 through 21, love has no vengeance. Vengeance is God's domain. You and I have no business being in his domain. We have no business saying, God, get off the throne. I'm going to judge these people. No, he says this, and dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give your place under wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, if this isn't love, what is? Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, that's like Oriental Arabic language right there. The Arabs call things that cause mental pain, quote, burning coals of the heart, unquote. And they also have another saying, quote, fire of the liver, unquote. We call it Holy Ghost conviction. And if we're kind to our enemies and those that curse us and we give them food if they're hungry and drink if they're thirsty and everything, verse 20, part B, just says they're going to have conviction come over them, even unbelievers. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's some love in action right there. Don't be overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. We can be on the victory side as we walk in love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for all the love we see in this deportment part of the book of Romans. And we just pray you'd bless chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 as we read them in the future. And Lord, just thank you that when it comes to our deportment, our behavior, we've seen tonight it's just loaded with love and different aspects of love. There's so much here. And I pray your Holy Spirit has touched everyone's heart maybe in one or two or three of these areas, and that we would leave here changed, transformed, and by the Holy Ghost power, start loving in a more biblical and scriptural way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.